Hey, Danger Danger is here with a special Halloween announcement. Part one of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show.
Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well, then Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty-gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials, so stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
D&D Dark is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror adventure that is intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark, a comedy horror adventure real play podcast, loosely based on Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, and starring some of history's most infamous monsters. I'm Danger Dangers, and I'm your host slash Crypt Keeper. Now, as usual, being part two of a two-part episode, there will be no recap on this one, so once again, it is highly encouraged that you listen to part one before diving in, but that being said, without further ado, we will jump into part two of this episode, already in progress.
The wolf is going to clamber out of the mud, fur slick and heavy, and he's going to rear back. And let's see, half my movement is 30 feet, so I've got 30 feet left before I need to officially dash. He's going to jump over Carrionite and Sycorax and continue for about 50 feet for a dash. Then he's going to pounce on Carrionite. My first attack is with advantage. That is an unnatural 20.
That will hit.
Because I moved at least 15 feet before attacking, I add 3d4. 5 damage. Let me get out my calculator. I'm gonna need it. This wolf is crunchy in more ways than one. So that's 5 additional damage. After I dash, additional damage equal to the amount of feet you move divided by 10. Round it up. And then we will go in for a claw attack. So that is 2d4 plus my strength, which is 3. Plus 4.
Plus 2 thunder.
Plus 2 thunder. Yeah, oh, yeah. All right. Plus 2. So that is the first attack for 16 damage on Carrionite.
Okay.
I have 40 feet of movement left. I am going to pounce on the other side to hit Sycorax with a bite. 16 plus 7.
That'll hit.
1d8. Ew, that's a 1. But because I move 15 feet, I get that extra 3d4. 10 plus 2 thunder is another 12. And 15 minus 40. I should be able to get another, 20 feet away to rear up for the next round's attack. And I think, yes, that is it. So the wolf jumps over them, swings back, slashes Carrionite with its claws, swings around once more and bites through the ghost that is Sycorax, and then dashes off into the woods.
All right, excellent. Mary, it is your turn.
Mary is just looking around going, no, 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 it can't be you. Why are you saying these things? No!
And so I am prone, so I get up, and I have to run 20 feet away because my movement speed is 40. I take out the javelin and I yell, "Power of the Seraphim, I invoke thee," and I just raise it above my head and lightning myself.
All right, I believe that is 4d6 lightning damage.
Wow, what the hell is wrong with my dice today? It's everything. 1, 2, 2, and a 4, so 9.
Okay, so you heal for 9.
That's all I can do. I just healed myself for 9. I still have my bonus action. I could lightning this guy for a bonus action.
You can. So this nearby zombie will make a dex save.
I'm kind of like hallucinating that this is one of the priests that burned my namesake at the stake.
That is a 7 on that save.
Cool, they take the full d6 then. And that's a 3, so they take 3 damage lightning.
All right, describe your killing blow.
Yay!
Damn!
Yay, I killed something today. My gosh.
Yeah, get you a zombie.
So essentially in sheer panic, like running away as far away from Carrie Knight as he possibly could, and he looks to his right. He's constantly surrounded by a mob just pointing with the flames and pointing at him saying, "Burn. Burn," and he looks over and he sees the priest who was responsible for it. And as he's looking at it, he hears the priest say, "Do you remember me? When I burned her, it was one of the greatest gifts that God bestowed upon our village. And now I get to witness you burn. Join us, my son. Burn with all of us. Here in the fiery pits from which you belong." And as the lightning comes down, I don't see the priest anymore. The body is just that of this dead zombie. And I believe you said I could reroll to regain my, like, unfrightened bits, right?
Yeah, you will repeat the wisdom save.
Okay.
The DC is 15. If you save, you will no longer be frightened. If you fail, you will take that damage again.
16 on the die.
Woo!
Very good.
And it's a +1, so it's a 17.
All right, you save. You are no longer frightened.
Oh, yes.
So after I blast what Mary thinks is the priest, he is breathing heavily. He is terrified. He is ashamed. All of these negative emotions flood him. After the thunder rumbles away, he looks over and sees the bones of a zombie, and Mary realizes it wasn't her. It wasn't him. It was all a trick. And he turns over to Mary the Carrion and is like, You dare pervert my memory of one of the most gracious and kind souls I've ever known. No promises will be made to you. You deserve no banter anymore, witch. All you deserve now is pain.
Get her!
That was sick, Ben.
Yeah.
That was so freaking cool, dude.
That was really good.
Yeah, that was rad.
Thank you.
All right, Imhotep, it is your turn.
All right, so we're going to just run on up to Carrie Knight. We're going to have the sword follow, and he's going to come swinging in, and he's just going to, "You really should have just signed the paperwork." I'm going to do 2 attacks, first with Hellraiser and then with the spirit weapon.
All right, go ahead and roll to hit.
So the Hellraiser is going to be 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 to hit.
That will hit.
And the other one is going to completely miss because that's an 8 to hit with spirit weapon.
All right, so go ahead and roll damage on the Hellraiser.
1d6 plus 5 plus 2 plus 1d8. So 12 plus an additional 8 necrotic damage, which I know she's resistant to. So 4.
All right, and that was movement, action, bonus action, correct?
Yep.
All right, legendary action.
Oh, no.
And she is going to do another energy drain. Everyone except Jack is in range of that. So everyone except Jack, that is a DC 15 con save.
Oh, that's not it. That's a 5.
Oh, just barely. Got a 17.
Ooh. I got a 16. I rolled a 9 and my con save is a +7.
Woohoo.
Your boy failed.
Uh-oh.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not very nice.
All right. So, Phantom and Imhotep, reduce your max HP by 7.
Ooh.
And she will heal for 14. And that is all three of her legendary actions.
Okay.
So, Phantom, it is your turn.
Bold of you to attack a virtuoso like me. And Phantom's healing word on himself only is virtuoso. Unlike what he says about the rest of you. So that will be 12 hit points back. Hell yeah, I'm at my new full.
Wow.
Nice.
It's less nice than you think, but I appreciate the gas up. I will shadow the hedgehog, skate my way over to Carrionite, and I'm going to say, you know, as impressive as your magic is, it's getting really annoying. So what if you just didn't? And he's going to touch, like, put his hand on her face and cast Bestow Curse.
Yes.
Ooh.
What is the save?
There's no save immediately. The curse I am applying is at the beginning of her turn, she has to make a wisdom saving throw against my spell DC. If she fails it, she just doesn't do anything.
As in, like, can't take her turn?
While cursed, the target must make a wisdom saving throw at the start of each of its turns. If it fails, it wastes its action that turn doing nothing.
Okay, so she can't take an action then.
Yeah, I suppose. I but yes, still good. And the Phantom's going to back away slowly. You got this, team. Bye.
That's great, Phantom. Where are you going? Where are you going?
Is there really no save on that?
It's save at start of her turn, right?
Creature must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or become cursed.
No, yeah. I was wrong. Yeah. I read the bullet points first. So sorry. Yes, go ahead and make the first save.
22.
Do my hopes and dreams affect that in any way?
Sorry, no.
Which makes my backing away even funnier.
Oh, that didn't work. Creep away slowly.
Ooh, oh no.
And now it is the zombie's turn. One of them's going to run to attack Mary. The other one's going to attack Phantom. The attack on Mary is an 11.
That misses.
The attack on Phantom is a 13.
That hits.
So that will deal 3 damage.
It also palms Phantom's face.
And just kind of garbles indistinctly. All right, and now it is Sister Sycorax's turn. And after your multi-attempts at polymorphing, she is going to make eye contact with you, Phantom.
Oh.
And say,
2 can play that game.
No!
So make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, please. My rolls are great. Does a 7 do it? You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and inspiration that one. Does a 16 do it?
The save is 15.
Yay!
Ooh, nice.
As I do not transform, I'm like, yeah, we are playing the same game.
Fair enough.
So how I'm going to choose to flavor this, because what I would have polymorphed you into is a weasel.
My God.
Is you start to turn into a weasel, but then the joke is kind of played out by this point, so just by popular demand, it doesn't work.
Love it.
So that's going to be her turn, and now it's over to Mother Carrionite.
Good. Fight me.
You might not say good in a second because she's got her soul rend recharged.
Yeah.
So she's going to rush towards you, swing the scythe at you, and extract Larry's soul this time.
What's my save?
That is a charisma saving throw. DC 19.
Ew, that's less likely to happen now. Oh. That's a 15.
With a 15, she pulls out part of Larry's essence, which she then slams back into the cage that was holding the ghost of Granny Grimhilda. And until that soul can be reclaimed, Jordan.
Yes?
Since you are missing some of your soul and essence.
Oh, yeah?
As Larry gets locked away, so does your D20.
No!
Any rolls you would make using a D20, now use a D12.
Oh, shit. No. Alrighty.
What the heck?
Let's do this. How do I get it back? Do I have to figure that out? Is that part of the puzzle?
That is part of the puzzle.
Do I know? Yeah, I'm just gonna eat her. I'm just gonna eat her. Gobble her down. We'll fill in the blanks.
All right, and that will end her turn. The entirety of her turn is that. So now it is the lair action, which...
Hey, what if I just use life transfer instead and give you just a piece of Imhotep's soul? You know, the thing that I did for Phantom, and I look at him, the amount of health I have and how much damage I take, and I go, yeah, I'd probably fucking die.
I just need, like, a sliver.
Yeah, especially because with this new lair action, you guys are actually really lucky with the positioning on this. It is a negative energy aura bounces and radiates out from the Reaping Scythe, so anybody within 30 feet of Mother Carrionite cannot regain hit points.
Ooh.
Which currently is only the wolf and Imhotep. So as long as you are more than 30 feet away from her, you can heal. If you're within 30 feet of her, you will be incapable of regaining hit points. So, 1 minute on the clock, go.
I'm gonna eat my soul.
I guess I'm swinging at Sycorax then. I'll leave Carrionite to you.
Jack, I feel like you can do a lot of damage, so leave getting Larry's soul out for me. I will be able to do that.
Oh.
I'm okay. Gonna, you know, just because I'm nervous, I'm just gonna heal up, but I can throw the javelin at Sycorax.
Okay.
Double check to see what my range is, because I can reach Carrionite, but the way I've been rolling today, I'm not a big fan of that.
Okay. And Daniel, you said you're going to go after Carrionite or Sycorax?
Sycorax. I'm going to start swinging at Sycorax.
Okay. I've actually got to start setting up my plan for the wolf. Basically, I'm making
it. And that's time.
Okay.
All right. So, Jack, it is your turn.
Alrighty. With me being this far and kind of knowing that everything's far away from me, Dan, what I'd like to try and do is that I would like to try to look for some decently sized heavy rocks. I'll roughly take my turn to do that.
Roll either nature or survival.
Okay. Ooh, that's not good. With nature, that's a 6.
You find some good skipping stones, but nothing particularly large.
Okay. I'm going to use my movement and tell me if I could do this. Because you said the water is difficult terrain, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to head roughly, like I would say, waist deep into the water, if that would be considered waist deep. And I'm going to pull out the painting and see how much of it kind of floats above water.
Interesting.
Because I'm trying to see if I can use the painting as a pit trap under the water, so that way it's difficult to see.
Basically, where my mindset is at is if you submerge it, you can't both stop the water from coming in and send somebody through it. So either it doesn't work at all, or you can't turn it off.
Okay.
But I will leave that up to you.
Got you. Because I know that I can't submerge it, I'm going to go ahead and start trying to see if I can start kind of covering the sides with like a little bit of like either algae or muck. Since I know that it would float, I think that's going to be it for me. So yeah, Jack's just setting up a pit trap for the wolf.
Hey, man.
And you know what? What I'll also say, go ahead and roll another nature check to try and disguise this painting.
Okay. Nature check. Oh, no. 13.
With a 13, I will say it is moderately disguised. It is still possible for the wolf to see it.
Right. Okay.
All right, so that will end your turn.
Alrighty. Well, with my lovely, what is it, a D12?
Yep.
Alrighty. Well, I'm going to say deuces to Carrionite because the wolf isn't stupid and is going to charge away from her, head for this zombie moving 75 feet through the swamp. Just ping, ping. My first attack is with advantage. And I got a 2 and then an 8 plus 7.
That'll hit.
Perfect. So my movement of 75 rounded up to 80 gets me 8 damage. Then 3d4 is 10 plus the damage of a claw attack. And that is 6 plus 3 for strength. And then if you dash and use a bonus action to attack, you add plus 5 damage.
Describe your killing blow.
So seeing there's a little bit of hollowness in the wolf's stomach, a little piece of it's missing, he's feeling kind of hungry, is going to careen away from Carrionite because he can tell he's not at full strength. Start taking off through the brush of the swamp, leaping over trees, ducking under brush, and then Mary, right in front of you, the giant wolf jumps out from the trees and its entire mouth slams over this zombie. Just immediately ripped in two.
Oh.
I still have 45 movement left. I am going to rush to this zombo. To the other side of the zombie. I'm gonna careen off the remaining bits and bobs I left behind, jump over this zombie, bite into it, and I'm gonna roll to hit. This one is not at advantage. 12 plus 7.
That'll hit.
Perfect. Okay. Then a 1d8 for the bite itself. That's 5, 6, 7, 8, plus my strength, 3d4 for moving at least 15 feet. 8. Oh, because I killed that guy, using my rampage reaction, I can immediately move up to half my speed and make a bite attack for free. So we'll say that's what this one is. That's going to be 16 damage.
Describe your killing blow again.
Second verse.
Here we go. Same as the first. Here we go.
It does a sick leap over this zombie that's right in front of Phantom. And instead of going top down, it turns its head, opens the maw around the waist of the zombie to just snap it in half.
While Mary is witnessing all this destruction, he's just like,
hey, Wolf, just to clarify, when we fought the very first time we met, it was just to keep Lauren subdued. I wasn't trying to kill you. We're cool, right?
Do you speak Abyssal?
I don't think I do.
Can we say that Imhotep remembers a little bit of Abyssal from having to deal with his patron?
Sure.
Jack would hear everything.
Mary, all you see is these bright yellow eyes looking at you. And he's just kind of chewing on the remaining bits of zombie. Everyone else pretty much hears. And he's going to continue leaping. Because I still have one more attack and I still have movement.
Mary just like looks and just like nods his head. Thumbs up. Just in a very like, yeah. Just like, don't.
All right. So I believe I've got 45 left because that was free real estate. The wolf is going to jump over the Phantom right in front of Sycorax. And I don't think he'll be able to hit her. But we'll take my bite attack here and see what happens. Rolling my d12. 5 plus 7. Oh. Probably not going to do it. 7, 8, 9.
Not going to do it.
It was worth a shot. It was a good run.
It was still a very effective turn.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we'll just, since we cleared the way to get to Larry's soul for everyone, we're going to just hunker down right in front of Sycorax and kind of mad dog her a little bit.
Mary, it is your turn.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to go behind Imhotep and I'm going to whisper, Imhotep, I need a little bit of help because I want to go after Carrionite one more time. But she's really freaking strong, and that really freaking hurt.
Don't sneak up on me like that, huh?
Oh, sorry. Hi, me.
Hi.
Yeah, next time I'm able to, I'm going to go up after her. But if whatever you can, I am asking you, if you can, cool. If you can't, don't worry about it. I'm going to use one of my spell slots. Last time, remember, I could cast Cure Wounds on myself.
Yep, your healing magic will still work on yourself.
Yay! So I am going to cast Cure Wounds on myself. And do I have to describe Cure Wounds, or we know what Cure Wounds does?
We know what Cure Wounds does, just let us know how much healing it does.
Yeah, because right now it's 1d8 plus my spellcasting ability modifier, which I actually don't know how that goes.
That would be your charisma is your spellcasting modifier.
Ooh, it's a plus 2, yay! Damn, who knew that? Mary has some riz.
Oh, trust me, we all knew.
thank you. I rolled a 4 on the die, and it's a plus 2, so I heal for 6 total.
All right, and Cure Wounds is an action, correct?
I believe it is, yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure she's not in range of my... Yeah, because lightning is essentially 10 feet. Yeah, she's way too far away. So I use Cure Wounds on myself, and I also look at Imhotep as like... A little tit for tat, but will this work on you? And I hand him one of the potions of healing I have.
No, I do not believe that one will unfortunately be able to help me. I appreciate the effort though.
Well, shoot, never mind. I just put it back in my pocket.
I'm trying to find any spells I have that can help you out here.
Mend.
Oh, you want me to just do mending?
Yeah, that works.
Oh, I can do mending next turn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm trying to heal up as much as I can, and I'm going to go do something very, very stupid, but I am very, very angry at a certain witch, and I'm pretty sure that guy over there, as I point to the wolf, has the exact same feelings I do.
Teeth gnashing sounds.
All right, Imhotep, it is your turn.
So, first thing I'm going to do is I am going to reach out and give... Oh, this is a one-minute cantrip.
I would be willing to fudge it one time in this combat.
And we just said that was basically casting a healing word on him to use mending?
Yeah, it's basically a healing word.
So, 12.
Go ahead and heal for an additional 12.
Yay!
And we said that was going to be an action, not a bonus action?
Yes.
Okay,
55 out of 87. I'm looking good. I'm good.
He's good.
I mean, we could always get Larry to lightning lure.
Larry's a wolf.
Larry's a wolf. Larry isn't doing anything to help us right now.
Hey, I'm helping.
Help us right at this moment.
He's trying to eat.
That's an action. That's an action.
Isn't spiritual weapon your bonus action?
You can make a melee attack on a hit. I guess, yeah. Okay, so as a bonus action, I can move it up to 20 feet and repeat the attack. So I'm going to move to, I guess, we have to beat up Grimhilda, because I'm not within range.
Sycorax.
Grimhilda's dead, that's right, because it's not far enough for me to move the sword to Carrionite. So, all right, we're going to swing at Carrionite. It's Sycorax.
I think we did this last time, too.
All right, go ahead and roll to hit.
It's going to be a 24 to hit, Sycorax.
24 is going to hit.
Okay, good. That's going to be 1d8 plus 9. That's 15.
Whoa! Ooh.
That's a spicy swing you got there.
That was a very spicy swing. And it's magic, so...
That's a very spicy swing you've got there.
I don't think I like using the word spicy to describe the magic sword. It's holy, not spicy. What's a weird word to pull from? Why was that the word you went with?
All right, and does that end your turn?
Yes.
All right, Phantom, it is your turn.
Sweet. So Phantom's going to put up his hands. He's going to clap them together, and one of the stage techs on break rolls their eyes and sighs and gets up and comes over, and I cast Unseen Servant.
All right.
Good.
The Unseen Servant will spawn right at Larry's soul cage.
Thank
and
you.
Try to open it.
Please. Let me out.
All right. So, Unseen Servant will first need to make a roll Constitution.
19.
It can. So, the Unseen Servant can physically interact with this cage. It has two locks.
Oh, fuck me. All right, let's go.
Which for that, let me see, you're going to need to get exactly 17. That is going to be using D10s.
Well, okay, D10s have liked me in the past. Oh, here we go.
So your goal is to get exactly 17.
3 plus 9 is 12.
Oh.
Plus 3 is 15. Plus 2. Oh my god,
whoa!
Plus 2. Holy shit.
So one of the two locks clicks open.
Oh my god. Okay, so that is action to cast, bonus action to move him, so this last part's mostly just narrative, but Phantom surfs on his Jekyll Juice quickening slip and slide, basically. Over to the wolf, and he throws his arms around the wolf, and he says, Larry, I pulled you out of there because we needed you. We don't need the wolf anymore. I'm going to get you out of there, bud. Oh, and I'm hugging it, but it's not like a grapple or anything. It's just, if it moves, it'll just leave, and that's fine.
If it moves, a Phantom is considered grappled.
Oh, no!
Yeah, you just see as you, like, wrap your arms around it, this big old nasty yellow eye, like, spins to look at you.
Ooh, I might not have thought this through. Ooh, wait a minute.
Why are you hugging it?
It's our friend.
Aww. It's a big angry dog.
Random question. Is it soft? remarkably very silky and eats well.
It's on a very good diet of people, and sometimes animals, mostly people.
All right, and I'm assuming that ends your turn.
That's all my stuff.
All right, so now it is Sycorax's turn, and she is going to use the last of the witch's fifth level spell slots to cast Phantasmal Killer on the wolf. And it is upcast. And because the wolf cannot use a d20 and has to use a d12, I believe it is mathematically impossible to save on this.
What's the check?
What if they rolled a natural 12?
A 12 is not a crit. A 12 is a 12.
Ooh, yeah. And what was the save? What? It was wisdom?
It is a wisdom saving throw.
It's a -3, so I'm out of luck.
Bullshit.
The DC is 15.
Yeah, we're not gonna do it. It's a 7 -3, y'all.
Good roll. Good. Nice.
Thank you. Thank you. Ugh.
So, Sister Sycorax, kind of pulling from the drudges of the dream realm out of her ethereal form, reaches into the mind of the wolf and blasts you with that nightmare energy. So, tell me what the wolf's nightmare is as I roll that damage, which is going to be 5d10 psychic damage.
Okay, finding a fear for the wolf is tricky because it is a bigger, more cosmic thing. But I think because what she is attacking, it's not the wolf entity, but rather the werewolf is a mixture of Larry and the wolf kind of grossly amalgamed together. So I think it would combine the wolf's hatred and Larry's fears and anxiety. And what happens is, in the wolf's mind, we see a scene very akin to the famous Fenris wolf scene, where we see this big bestial mass wrapped down in chains, locked down in this dark cave. And the vision that the wolf is watching is all of these people that are supposed to love it, are supposed to care for it, all walking away and abandoning it to be trapped alone in this dark hole. And for those that can hear Abyssal, the wolf is making like whining, groaning, like graggling sounds, but the ones that can understand Abyssal just hear.
I want to be clear, that's the wolf saying that?
That is the combined fear and anger of Larry and the wolf together.
It's like half the wolf, half Larry.
Got you.
Huh. I have a really dumb idea.
I don't know if I like that.
Excellent nightmare description. Thank you for that,
Thank
Jordan.
Thank you.
And so sorry, but take 46 damage.
Lord! 5d10 and she was short by only 4 from max?
It was 3 tens, a 9, and a 7.
Good lord.
Okay, give me that one number one more time. I'm grabbing my calculator.
It was 46.
46!
High rolls today. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, sorry, by the way, Jordan.
And then Sister Sycorax is going to use her movement to get 30 feet away, and that is going to end her turn. So now, for Mother Carrionite's turn, she is going to... Oh, also, I forgot to mention, the wolf is now frightened.
Get my soul! I would say, since the phantom is, like, actually holding on, arms wrapped around the wolf, you can feel this giant thing trembling.
I'm gonna get you out of there, buddy. Mm-hmm. Fuck the wolf, though.
You probably don't want to be right there, because now it's Mother Carrionite's turn.
Hooey.
And she is going to make a break straight for the wolf. Mother Carrionite's going to attack the wolf with its reaping scythe. That is a 14.
14 does not hit. AC 15.
Yes.
For her
reaction? I wonder if I should wait.
She dashes forward towards you and swings at you with her reaping scythe, misses, and then goes to make a claw attack. And that is an 11, so also will not hit.
11 will not hit, but like an animal backed into a corner shaking with fear, is going to lash out, and I'm going to use my reaction Bestial Fury, and I can now retaliate with a bite and claw attack.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going to roll my two d20s, one for the bite, one for the claw. Oh, wait, it's a d12. Shoot. Well, that's an 11 plus whatever it is. So, oh, and the other one's a 1. So 11 plus 7, so 16.
A 16 will not hit.
Ah!
Good lord.
Didn't you say 11 plus 7? That's 18.
Oh, right. That's 18. Thank you.
And 18 will
hit.
Yay!
You just whisper into the wolf's ear, an 18. That's an 18.
Lawrence, you... that's not how math works.
I have a -3 intelligence. Give me a break. All right, perfect. Well, I'm going to do a 2d4 plus my strength. So that is 1 plus, 1, womp womp, plus 3. Is that right? So that is 5 damage. A quick snap of the jaws. It was more of a defensive maneuver than I'm a gobble you.
All right, and that will end her turn. That was movement and multi-attack. So now, lair actions.
No.
Everybody make a DC 19 dexterity saving throw.
No!
Oh, no.
The ground begins to shake violently as more corpses lift up. Anyone who fails is knocked prone.
I'm prone.
Ugh, I literally can't do it by 1 if I rolled everything max.
No, mine's a 13 flat.
I got a solid 19.
Salt 19 will do it.
Thank God. Okay, so I'm still on my feet.
Okay, cool. She's within range still. Even though I take half my movement to get up, I can still get her.
All right, Grayson, it's your turn.
I don't remember how we did this in combat in the past. Is it an action to pull the broom and then rise up?
I will say it will take up a bonus action for you to mount the broom.
But I need everything. All right, so I will move on my feet, not on the broom. I will move on my feet, the 40 feet that I need to right here. Then I can use my bonus action to get the rest of the way over to Larry's soul.
Yes, 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 yes. Because I was not going to be able to pull that off a second time. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, once I heard that it was locked, then I figured I might be able to help. But the con is the one that makes me slightly nervous.
This will take an action. So go ahead and right. Make your con check to try and get a grip on these ethereal bars.
Oh.
DC is going to be 14 for this.
Oh, 14.
14. So just barely, you are able to interact with this ethereal spectral cage that Larry's soul is trapped in. So now to pick the remaining lock, one of the two locks is picked. This one, for you, it's using a D6. You have to get exactly 17.
Okay. 6, 9, 10, 14. God, 16.
So you're at 16. You need a 1 to be able to do this.
Come on. And if I need to, I'll burn my DM inspiration that I do have. Oh, one.
Hell yes.
Let me out.
All right. Breaking open the cage, the soul of Larry magnetically gets drawn back into the wolf. So, Jordan, you now
yes.
have access to your D20 again.
Yes!
Yes!
And that was movement, action, and bonus action.
And Jack's going to turn around to the unseen servant and just hold up a hand for a high five.
He gives it to you.
Sweet.
Well earned.
In my mind, you hold up a hand for a high five, the unseen servant holds out a fist for a fist bump, and you do that awkward back and forth for a moment.
I was hoping they just commit and just do the turkey.
No, just the high five. Okay, fist, no, no, other, never mind.
And then this is dire enough that Mother Carrionite is going to use all 3 of her legendary actions
no.
to do an energy drain. So everyone within 30 feet make a DC 15 con save. So that's going to be Imhotep, Phantom, Mary, and the wolf.
Dirty 20.
That'll save.
Yes.
I also have I rolled a 13 and it's a plus 7. Dirty 20 as well.
I just made it. I did a 12 plus 3, 15.
Cool, cool. Oh. Filthy 9.
Filthy 59.
So only Phantom failed the save on this one. So Phantom, lower your max HP by 12.
Help everyone, she keeps giving me the suck.
Phantom, we need to find a better vocabulary for you, my friend.
And she is going to heal for 12 as she saps that vitality from you. But that is all three of her legendary actions. And now it is the wolf's turn.
So I'll use half my movement to get up, which this gets so ridiculous I need to do calculating.
It's amazing how much more damaging half of your movement is than any of the rest of us.
It's pretty devastating.
I went down from 300.
Oh. So minus 30. So I have 90 remaining to get up.
Jesus Christ.
What did I just say?
That is including my dash, because I will for sure dash, so I'm going to run.
The wolf is still, until the end of its next turn, afraid, and then it can make its save again.
And then I have to remake the save, so I have to run.
So until you save, you cannot willingly move closer to Sister Sycorax.
Oh, okay. Let me rethink.
I have something that I hope is a fun narrative thing. Mechanically, I'm just going to cast Calm Emotions, which is going to end your frightening.
Okay, so I guess I'll hang out right here since I'm feeling the fear. And I will attack Carrie Knight because she is within range enough. So I won't get all my fun bonuses, but that's okay.
Boo.
But it's going to be a bite and a claw, which is going to be... One of those is going to hit for a 14 plus 7. The other is a 2 plus 7. So it's not going to hit. So that it will be a 2d4 plus strength. So that will be 10 damage with a bite.
All right.
Completely that specific sound effect.
I still have all the Scooby-Doo sound effects.
Yay!
Yes! No! This one's supposed to be scary. But yeah, I think I'll hunker down with Phantom here and just hang out.
Okay, so that ends your turn. Mary, it is your turn.
Okay, so I use half my movement to go from prone to not prone.
Oh, also real quick, Larry, make your save again. I almost forgot.
Oh yeah.
Which still isn't great.
But it's possible now.
It's possible. That ain't gonna do it.
Ah, darn it.
I still feel the weight of the chains in the darkness.
So then you will take another 5d10 psychic damage.
Really? Oh, wait. Oh, Dan. This is a big ask. This is a big stretch. But I'm free from a bargain.
We're in kind of a tricky position with Devil's Bargains narratively right now.
But you did illustrate flavor-wise that my bargains don't come from the devils.
I will allow it.
Bless.
No, that's a different spell.
Oh, Inagu, help me eat someone.
What did you roll before?
It was a 2 minus 3.
So with that negative 1 floating up above your head, smoky tendrils emanate from off of you as the essence of the wolf reaches out to a shadowy flail, flipping it around to a nat 20, and you break free of the phantasmal killer.
Yes, with my soul reunited and that twisting of fate, the wolf just stands back up to its full form and just like shakes it off.
Imhotep, seeing this wolf stand all the way, I go, oh, I was going to have a character moment, but okay, carry on.
I'm so sorry. I just can't take that damage again.
I get you. No.
Okay, so pardon the interruption. Back to you, Mary. Now it is your turn.
No worries. That was a big thing we had to get through. Okay, so Mary's going to use half of his movement to get up. Thankfully, Carrionite is only 10, 15 feet away, which is good for me. So I'm going to go right up to her. And first things first, thunder time.
All right, she's going to make that save.
I feel like we're forgetting about another witch.
That is a 10 on that deck save.
The DC is 15, so she takes a full D6. Do-do-do-do, she's going to take 5 thunder damage.
Ooh.
All right.
And I'm going to swing at her with my longsword.
Okay, go ahead and roll to hit.
Okay, 14 plus 7, unnatural 21.
Woo!
21 will hit.
Yeah! We're talking.
Do I want to use my spell slot now?
Yes.
You know what? Fudge it. Yes, I do. So I'm going to imbue that hit with Divine Smite.
Yes!
All right, so go ahead and tack on that extra radiant damage.
Divine Smite, bitch! Ah, boom. That is a 3 and a 2, so 5 total on the Divine Smite. Plus 10 for the regular longsword damage. So 15 total damage this attack.
Cutting in half the longsword damage because she's resistant. So she took, instead of 15, she took 10 damage.
Now I'm going to go attack her again.
Yeah.
And that is a DM inspiration roll because that was a nat 1.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Don't trip on the sword.
Don't worry. I have DM inspiration. That doesn't count. It was on a 19 and then it just rolled down to a 3. So I miss.
Oh,
okay.
At least it wasn't a nat 1.
Yeah.
Still productive turn.
Yeah, the most productive turn I had in a long time.
All right, and Imhotep, it is your turn.
Since the wolf is back in action, I'm not going to use my calm emotions. And I'm just going to also hit her with all of my swords.
Do it.
Heck yeah, dude.
Do it.
As he swings with it, he just said, "You just had to sign the paper, lady. That's all you had to do." But no, you had to be special and have to read the fine print. Oh, you think you're so cool? 22.
22 will hit.
Damage is a D6 plus 5 plus 2.
What type of damage is it?
The D6 is slashing damage from a magical weapon.
Okay, it is magical, so...
So that's going to be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 slashing damage.
Okay.
And then 1 necrotic damage, but I mean, that was with the Hellraiser. That wasn't with the special sword.
It'll still round to 1, so...
So that was the Hellraiser. That's a nat 20 for the spiritual weapon, though.
Ooh! Oh,
dear!
Damage is equal to 1d8 plus my spellcasting modifier. 12 damage. She's going to take 12 damage. Remind me again how it rolls for critical. I roll it twice and take the higher.
You double the amount of dice that you roll.
Oh, hold on then. That's going to be 14 then.
All right. So an extra 14 damage from that spiritual weapon.
Mm-hmm. Are you not dead yet? Really? After all of this and you're still kicking?
Death and I are old acquaintances.
Literally motions to himself.
Literally motions to herself.
I think I've been doing this a little bit longer than you have, honey.
Honey.
Phantom, it is your turn.
I will spend half my movement to get up. And then Phantom's going to reach... Oh, God, why am I doing this to myself? Phantom's going to walk over, pull the wolf's mouth open.
Oh, no.
Like a drop it sort of thing. And seeing how badly things are going and realizing that Phantom is not concentrating on him anymore... The unseen servant's gonna throw up like the peace sign and dip. And I'm gonna fucking try this. We'll see. I'm using the spell slot either way, but feel free to just say it doesn't work like that. But Phantom looks right at the wolf and he's yelling into the wolf, basically, "Lawrence Stuart Talbot, you get out of that wolf right now. If you eat one of these hags, we'll never hear the end of it."
Not the middle name.
The full government.
Okay, what's the spell that you're using for this?
I want to try to cast Polymorph to push him back to a human, to pull Larry out.
Whoa.
I intend to upcast it to 5th if that affects that.
Roll Arcana.
Ooh, that's not very good. Also, my not very good is plus 5, so I don't, maybe I'm not the best judge.
Damn, I'm so jealous.
I'm going to set the DC for this at 17.
Oh.
So potential things that could happen is one, it works. Great, glorious. But the other that I think's kind of funny is the wolf mentality, but it's just still the shape of Larry.
That's probably what I'm going to do with it, is the wolf will take the form and stats of Larry, but still be the wolf.
Well, it's only 14, and I've got nothing to redo it.
So with a 14, I think that's what it's going to be, is you will be polymorphed into Larry, but still be the wolf. So you get the worst of both worlds.
Yay!
Oh, no!
Well, until it makes an action. I did it!
Yay!
So the wolf has Larry's stats, but not his spell casting.
Oh, shit.
Enjoy those unarmed strikes. Sorry.
What that does do is that does give the wolf kind of a temp HP buffer.
Oh. Am I swapped back to Larry HP for now?
You have Larry's HP, armor class, and stats, but no spell casting.
What if?
But as soon as the Larry stats hit zero, you're back to wolf as you were. So that basically gets you an extra 66 hit points.
Is this just wild shape rules?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
That's hysterical.
Do I have my cane anywhere near me? Does Wolf Brain even comprehend how to use tools?
I don't think Wolf would be willing to interact with cane.
All right. Well, then this just full-ass man's gonna jump on a lady and bite her.
But until then...
Till then, it worked!
You know what? To welcome him back, my bonus action, slip a little bardic inspiration right there into Larry's bolo tie.
Yay! Ding! Aww.
And then that's it. That's my turn.
That ends your turn, so now it is Sycorax's turn. There's, like, two different things I could do here.
Do you have the effective choice or the funny choice? Is that what this is?
I'm gonna go with the funny choice.
Hell yes, Dan.
And, Sister Sycorax is going to see Phantom's move.
Oh, no.
Basically, what she's going to do is she's going to do the exact same thing and polymorph Carrionite into the wolf.
Oh, no.
We're already outside of what the spell can do, so we might as well keep going.
That's not good.
But it might isn't the worst. It's really funny.
Interesting move, but I feel like I have a better grasp on everyone's nightmares here.
So, Larry, now you might get the chance to bite the wolf.
Revenge! Sweet revenge!
That is all that Sister Sycorax is going to do on her turn.
Hilarious. Iconic. Love it.
That was the last fourth level spell slot that the witches have.
Brad!
But worth it for the bit.
For the bit. For the bit.
I mean, if we're going with stats rules, the bit might eat us.
Mm-hmm. But now she can't do any of her spells, so hit him with the wisdom saves. Hit him with the intelligence saves.
Hit him for 137 HP.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
So now it's Mother Carrionite's turn, and she is going to lash out. I'm going to roll to see who she goes for. You know what? No, I think she's going to go for Imhotep.
No, not go for Imhotep.
No, don't go for Imhotep.
Go for Imhotep.
She wants to chew on those juicy bones.
Don't like that.
That's what we call a bad breakup.
So, going to make a bite and claw attack.
And you were so sad when I told you I didn't want your bones.
Okay, when you have them, it's different.
So that is a 26 and an unnatural 20.
That hits.
So that's going to be 8, 9, 10, 11 damage on the bite.
Okay.
And 7 damage on the claws.
Okay. We're okay, guys. We're doing good.
Glad to hear it.
We're at 13.
Oh, God.
Oh.
At least you don't have to save from lycanthropy. That is a worry, I think.
Then going to bonus action dash.
Yeah.
Not Dan getting to play with the wolf.
Hey, Jordan, what's the con modifier for the wolf?
+2, actually.
I'm going to try it. We're going to try it.
That's going to be her turn. So now, lair action. This went a very different direction than I expected it to. But
this is hilarious. I don't even...
skeletal hands shoot up and grab Mary from the ground, rooting you in place for this next round.
Boo.
All right, Jack, it is your turn.
Alrighty. Is Sycorax concentrating on anything?
She is concentrating on Polymorph.
Mm. Kill her. Kill her. Kill, at least shoot her.
Yeah, that's essentially my goal. All right, cool. I believe it's still within my range. Ah, yes, it is. We will bonus action hide, and then I'll stick a hand out to go for a sneak attack with my hand crossbow on Sycorax.
All right, go ahead and roll to hit.
With the hand crossbow, that is 17.
A 17 just barely does it.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
See, that's 5d6. And then plus 3 on top of it all.
While he's mathing, Dan, so I don't have Larry spellcasting abilities. Do I still have wolf abilities, just
Larified
proficiencies different?
This is such a weird case, so...
Like, I know I'm not going to have, like, my plus 7s to hit, but can I still use the wolf abilities? Please, it'll be so funny. It's going to be so...
I think for the pure comedy of it, you have the wolf abilities with Larry's stats.
Yeah! This is going to be closest to the Wolfman movies we've ever seen. I'm running on all fours into the woods, guys. That's what we're doing.
Yeah! All right, so finished up my mathin. That was 27 damage.
All right. And I hate to say it, but the con save was a nat 20.
Of course it was. And then just out of curiosity, with me being so far away, I did a bonus action hide, but I did fire. Am I still hidden?
Post-attacking, you are no longer hidden.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to clarify for myself.
And I'm assuming that ends your turn, right?
That'll do it.
All right. So, Larry, it is your turn.
Yeah, so the wolf in Larry's form is like hunched over, teeth gritted, gnarling, slobbering, just like hands out like claws, and it's just gonna fairly like look back and forth to where the now wolf form has gone, and this man is gonna go running on all fours into the woods after Carrionite and is going to use the dash ability. So that is, I have to calculate 30 plus 20 is 50. Yeah, I can do that. So 50 to dash. I have advantage on my first attack. This is amazing.
This is ridiculous.
I'm having so much fun. Aaron, thank you for this gift.
You are so welcome.
17 to hit.
A 17, I believe, hits.
Wolf stats?
Wolf stats.
It does. So Larry's going to go running out, jump out at the wolf form, onto it, bite it, and just...
This is so dumb.
Mary is just... Mary's just standing there watching this. It's like, this is weird. I don't know if I like this.
Anybody else vaguely uncomfortable by this? Raise your hand.
Phantom raises his hand.
Okay, good. Not just me. Awesome.
Mary raises his hand too. Is like, this is weird. I don't like this.
That's gonna do 17 damage.
Oh my god,
Larry! What the hell?
Just with all my dash bonuses.
Got some sharp teethers.
Yeah, I do. And then I'm going to go in for the claw attack, which is really dumb, but I guess we're doing it. That will not hit. That it will be a 9 to hit. But gosh golly, was that fun?
So now, Mary, it is your turn.
So, Dan, I have a question.
Yes.
It's been a while, but the range on the javelin on my character sheet, it says 30 added 120. Is that the minimum maximum?
Yeah.
That is your optimal range.
Excellent.
You can throw it closer at disadvantage or farther at disadvantage. but within that range, that is your normal optimal range for throwing.
Cool, because Carrionite is 45 feet away, and since I can't move and Mary is still very, very angry, he takes out the javelin and aims it right at Carrionite.
Get her.
All right, go ahead and roll to hit.
That is a 6. Nah, so I whiff and I summon it back and I attack again. I throw it again.
All right, go ahead and throw it again.
It whizzes by. Wait, sorry. It whizzes back past her again.
that was a mulligan.
Oh, come on, dice. Really? That was a 2. Why? Why is it with this witch?
All right, and I'm assuming that ends your turn.
Yeah, that's my turn.
All right, Imhotep, it is your turn.
He kind of stretches after getting beaten, clawed, like, oh, okay, we got this. All right. Ugh. We're going to get right up to Carrionite. And since she's the wolf, she's no longer, like, immune to necrotic damage, right?
Mm-mm.
I'm going to cast Vampiric Touch at 4th level.
Ooh.
Please describe Vampiric Touch.
It's just a spell attack. And on a hit, it will take 3d6, but since I upcast it to 4th level, it'll take 4d6, and I will regain half of that back as health.
Excellent.
All right, go ahead and roll to hit, then.
26.
Good idea, Imhotep. Give her the suck.
God damn it, Aaron. Yeah, 26 will hit.
So yeah, I run up and I grab her. Like, I put my hands on her shoulders, and I'm like, you hit me, it hurts, I'm taking it back. And she's going to take 16, which means I regain 8 health.
Hey, not too bad.
And then as my bonus action, I'm going to have the spiritual weapon come on over to Sycorax, and that's going to be a dirty 20 to hit.
Oh, yeah.
A 20 will hit.
Okay, 1d8 plus 9, 15.
Good.
She's going to roll that con save. And that is an 11. So still concentrating.
No, stop it.
Make it stop.
All right, Phantom, it is your turn.
All right, you know what, Sycorax? I'm kind of sick of you ripping off my bit, and I'd handle you more appropriately, but I'm concentrating on something else right now. So I'm just going to level 3 Dissonant Whispers.
Nice.
Yeah, we're just going to keep doing it.
Heck yeah.
That's a save, right?
Yes, wisdom save.
That is a 10.
Ooh, DC is going to be 16, mon frere. And I believe it's a level 1 spell. And I brought it up to 3, so that will be 5d6.
She's going
to
make that concentration save. And her concentration breaks.
Yes!
Hell yeah.
Yes!
And 19 for the damage.
And then she will move as far away from you as she can.
And her mind is playing that meme where it's like, sometimes you just have to tell them you're fine, but you're not fine. And she's like running away.
Say that you're fine and you're not really fine.
And so now it is her turn. She is also going to try to break your concentration with Ray of Sickness.
Oh, no.
I don't know if she realizes that the Larry form's not
not
harmful.
The better form. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, dropping the concentration on this is going to drop your total HP by like 50, so.
Yeah.
And you did 17 last turn, actually. Come to think of it, I don't know that this is that bad.
It's so funny.
So this is a ranged spell attack. That is an unnatural 20.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So you will take 2d8 poison damage and must make a con save or be poisoned. And also roll to maintain your concentration, which this is, you'd roll your constitution modifier and just have to get above a 10.
Cool. So I will start with concentration. 18. Constitution. Constitution's a nat 1. I'm as poisoned as I could possibly be.
Oh,
so that
God.
Means you have disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks.
Phantom's like, ha-ha, I still concentrate. And he just throws up right on the ground. Still concentrating.
That's going to be 11 damage.
Hell yeah.
So that's going to end her turn. So now it is Mother Carrionite's turn. And she is going to... Let me roll to see if her soul rend has recharged.
No!
4, it has not.
That's close, though.
She's going to multi-attack. She's going to start by going for the lair wolf.
Wolfman!
23.
That'll hit.
And this is with her reaping scythe.
Yeah.
So that'll be 15 slashing
Oof,
damage.
Okay.
Plus 8d8 necrotic damage.
Oh, wowee. I don't like that.
So that's going to be 33 necrotic damage.
Ooh, Oof, we're at 18, baby.
Oh, God.
And then she's going to heal for a third of that.
No!
So she's going to regain 11 health. And then she's going to claw attack at Imhotep.
Stop hitting me.
That's
going
to be a 25.
And hits.
That is going to be 11 slashing damage plus 6 necrotic damage. Which would be 3 because you're resistant to it.
Okay.
So that's 14 health total, I believe.
Yeah. If y'all could stop getting crunched for a little bit, that'd be great.
I'm trying, man. It's hard out here.
That is going to end her turn. She is going to say, as she lashes back out,
I tried to give you a simple out. If you had just played fair, we could have all gotten what we wanted.
And lair action.
I can't believe I'm going to be the first one to die twice.
Hey, we'll bring you back.
With this next lair action, as she says that, spirits screech out around her and encircle her with a ghostly ethereal energy that renders everyone within 30 feet of her incapable of regaining hit points.
Would be right now, Dan, if I drop to death saves and I start doing vignette like Phantom did, it's gonna be the funniest, most petty shit.
Good.
Don't say that, because now we kind of want that to happen.
I attack Imhotep.
Invisible man. Invisible man, it's your turn.
All right, cool. I'll move closer about 10 feet and kind of stay close to a tree. And then pull out my handy-dandy hand crossbow. And I'll take a shot over at Carionite. And because she's surrounded by two allies, I think that's advantage.
That is a sneak attack, so go ahead and roll with advantage.
24 to hit?
24 will hit.
Excellent. And that's hand crossbow, so that's
6d6. 6d6 cut in half.
Gotcha. Okay. So 20 and cut in half, that'll be 10 damage on her.
Okay.
So not exactly like taking away all her 11 HP that she got, but she wasn't concentrating on anything, right?
She wasn't concentrating on anything. Still a pretty effective move.
Okay.
She's not doing great.
Yeah, that was like we're trying to keep her low. And then after that, I will go ahead and use a bonus action to hide. And that'll pretty much do it for me.
Nice.
All right. So, Wolfman / Man Wolf.
Okay. So, the Wolfman is going to run into the woods, and the wolf now getting more used to this more kind of less dog-like, more monkey-like form is going to run up into a tree and do that famous like little sprawling down he does in all the movies. Just the wolf man from the top wire. And just, nah! And is going to roll that first attack with advantage. I think that's going to be a 15 to hit. Can I slap Bardic on that?
Hey, you've got a die of Bardic Inspiration.
Yeah, all right. How much do I get, Aaron?
It's a D8.
Woohoo! Okay, so 15 plus 4.
19 will hit.
Yes. Okay, so that is going to be, since I ran, I think, 55 feet, including the dash, that will be 6 plus my 2d4s. So that's going to be 18 on another bite.
And please describe your killing blow.
Hell yeah.
Are you kidding? Alrighty. As just this feral man leaps out of this tree onto Carrie Knight's back, he's just gonna bite right into her jugular and just rip it out. And then just continuing to just claw and rip away at her until she collapses on the ground.
And as she collapses on the ground, she is going to wither and decay as that gradient of skeletal to mortal continues to pass along, and that vitality leeches out of her. She disintegrates
into dust along that line. And with the glow of your card captor's curse, she will, like Dr. Facilier at the end of Princess and the Frog, will slowly get dragged into the card and reaching out with ghostly ethereal claws. She grips after Sister Sycorax, who gets pulled in behind her.
No, no, now no one gets what they want.
Sister Sycorax gets grabbed, pulled, and starts to get dragged in as her ghostly talons grapple onto the floor.
No, no, not again!
And the spirit of Granny Grimhilda slowly begins to rematerialize before her, and similarly along the chain, Sister Sycorax grabs onto her, and with a look of panic and then a shrug, the last thing you hear as this chain of hags gets pulled into the card is her laughter echoing before silencing out. And the three witches all collapse in on the card.
The wolfman, in response to Carrie Knight saying no one gets what they want, is just sitting there with bright yellow eyes and a wide smile as far as the human face can stretch, with the sort of oddly shapen teeth, is just gonna say,
I do.
And Imhotep, you see as the shape of Larry lifts the card up into the air and is about to eat it.
I'm going to really quickly use a command and just say stop.
Okay.
Wisdom saving throw.
Oh, you lucky devil. With my Larry shape, I have a +6 to my wisdom, but I rolled a 5.
Ooh. Oh, God. He is 17, so.
Woo!
Imhotep drags himself to his feet. He's using his bandages to kind of support him as he gets up.
I heard what it was that you said. Oh, fuck, that hurt. When you were having that nightmare vision, I know why you insist upon devouring the souls of others, but I need those souls really, really badly. And as it is perfect that you all move your tokens over here before the corny shit I am about to fucking say. This is the corniest thing. Oh,
yeah,
God.
The whole squad rolled up. This turns to Jack. You should hear this too.
You really should. Of all the people here, you should hear it too. I need those souls, those specific souls, for the sake of mine. And I will tell you now, look around. The last time we encountered each other, we were at odds. And while we may not agree on everything, it was better to fight alongside you than against you. As we have said to Larry so many times, I still try to get it through his skull. I sometimes feel like he doesn't get it. You're not alone. And he's going to take a page out of Phantom's book and awkwardly hug the wolf.
Everyone, if we could all join in with Imhotep. I was actually going to exposit this, so I'm glad that he started it off. When we last dealt with the wolf, Maleva said that she was able to find her son in there, so I know Larry's in there. And I need your help to get him out. I think you just need to love him. Like, a lot. Just hug right on in there, I think.
I also want to note that while Phantom is doing this and Imhotep is hugging the wolf in the palm of Larry, he's very slowly reaching up with his hand to pluck the card out of Larry's hand.
Please do, please do.
He plucks the card out and kind of stuffs it into his bag. And then goes back awkwardly hugging.
So Mary is just standing. Well, first, can I get the scythe? The one damn thing we went all the way over here for?
The scythe does remain on the ground.
Okay, first, can I do, like, a check on it? Maybe an arcana check to make sure if I pick it up, I don't get cursed or something?
I will just tell you flat out, you will not get cursed by picking it up. It does require attunement to use.
Okay, I'm not planning to use it, so I'm just gonna pick it up just to hold on to it. And as I'm, like, holding on to the scythe to make sure that we don't lose it, I'm just looking at the wolf, and Mary is just like, I mean, I don't know about hugging, but I will say I'd much rather fight with you than against you, because speaking from experience, fighting you sucks.
Gabby, come hug the wolf.
Emotep, command him to hug.
I will not use another command spell. I will let you do what you're going to do.
Mary is just going to stand there and just look at the wolf and just, like, nod, as in, like, rather fight with you than against you, buddy.
Phantom and Emotep are, like, cartoon crushing the wolf in, like, one of those sandwich hugs.
Exactly.
Jack, get in here.
It is, like, mildly uncomfortable just because we're squeezing tight and it's just weird.
So, Jordan, tell me how this is being perceived by, like, four layers down. The wolf as filtered through Larry, as filtered through the wolf, as filtered through Larry.
This is so complicated. I think the wolf, or at least the werewolf, has had a very weird night. Normally it just goes business as usual. You run around, you eat some stuff, and you go back to sleep. But being in this very humanoid form with these other creatures around, just grabbing it with kindness. If it was just purely the wolf entity, this would do nothing. It would just turn around and eat, because it is closer to a force of nature than anything. But way deep down, there is that sappy, heartfelt, emotional Lawrence Stewart Talbot that is putting question marks in this wolf creature's head, this many layers together creature, that it just kind of sits there and takes it, but not in like an I'm enjoying this way, but more in like a what's happening way. Kind of like when you hug your dog and your dog's like, I don't get any pleasure out of this, but I guess you guys need it.
Valid.
Yeah, yeah.
I always thought they liked it.
But it's definitely calming, soothing, and distracting this form from continuing its rampage.
And now we hold it for 8 more hours. We got you, Larry.
I believe polymorph lasts for 1 hour, so
I'll just cast it again, buddy.
I mean, the thing that quells the wolf before is when Maleva would say those things to just kind of like quell it to sleep.
I would imagine too, because it is polymorphed into the form of Larry, I would be willing to posit that Larry's influence is a little bit stronger than it otherwise would be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe at this point, the wolf and Larry don't know where each of them start or end.
I think so. And it just gets a little more drowsy as its momentum has been stopped. And slowly, compressed in all of these arms, just kind of goes limp.
Yay!
I think so, yay!
And you are out of combat.
Larry just dead dropped into the mud.
Ace first just squelched.
Not the first time. Not the last time.
All right, so I roll Larry over. I pick him up. The scythe is on my back next to my sword. And I just get a good look at him. And I could. Mary is deducing that the wolf is, like, done for right now. Like, he's asleep. He's a sleepy boy.
So, Jordan, when you say that Larry fell over, do you mean that, like, knocked out unconscious or just kind of went limp and
I'm,
is still...
I'm cool with whatever it needs to be narratively.
I will edit it then to, rather than being unconscious, eyes are still open, staring up, and just sort of inactive.
Can I close his eyes?
It's
like having Larry just like stare at me, like just dead stares, like, yeah, that's not that's, go to sleep, buddy.
And his eyes have those yellow spirals still through them as the wolf is still present. As you're closing his eyes, you start to see those spirals fade away.
I just look over at everyone else, like, I only have one concern. We did this before the moon shone. Will he go through another transformation, or does this count?
Well, if we have to hug him for another night, it'll be weird, but we'll do it.
I don't know if it would have the same effect, but I think we should err on the side of caution, but I think right now we're fine.
Yeah.
So if you guys are all comfortable, I think we should just camp out here.
I mean, you mean back at the carriage, though, right? Not like right here.
No. Set the tiny hub right here
in the mud.
Arianite's shack is right over there. We don't need the tiny hut. We could just use the cottage.
Okay, but the tiny hut's fun.
It's been a minute since we've had the tiny hut.
It's been a while, but it gets cramped. Guys, I'm big. You forget how large I am.
I could put you in the portrait. You'll have all the space you want.
I don't know if I want to go in the portrait, though.
Aww, don't put him in the portrait.
Oh, my, enough of this. Enough. And Phantom just surfs into the cottage.
So you make your way into Mother Carrionite's cottage. Everybody take a long rest and level up.
Ooh. Level up!
You're a fool. You're a damn fool.
You say that now.
Oh, no.
Oh, no!
Maybe we're the damn fools. Oh,
yeah. We are the outcasts, the misfits, you might say. We deal with the nightmares that you run away from every single day. We know the world is a gruesome little place, but us outsiders, we've developed quite a taste for the grisly and morbid, the ghastly and the horrid. We know it's awful, dreadful, but we like it. Just another haunted night, shrouded with unearthly fright. So when you're oh so terrified, you know who to call. The world is falling apart, we'll never take it to heart. So monsters and creatures and spirits and specters and all, let's all have a ball.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark, created, hosted, and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jers, with artwork by Jordan Nelson. Special thanks to our patrons, including CJ, Direbeast, Leninc13, Sparks Witty, and The Lone One VA. If you want to join our cult and hear your name entered into the pool of credit shoutouts, as well as get access to our fan Discord, bonus mini campaigns, and one-shots, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for just $5 a month. If you want to help us out in other ways, spread the word to your friends and family, or leave us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. D&D Dark's cast this episode is Jordan Nelson as Larry Talbot, the Wolfman, Ben Magnet as Mary, the Frankenstein Monster, Daniel Cruz as Imhotep, the Mummy, Grayson Norman as Jack Griffin, the Invisible Man, and Aaron Caulfield as Eric, the Phantom of the Opera. Our theme song and outro is Let's All Have a Ball by Ryan White Maloney and Tony Carboni, recorded at True North Studios, Las Vegas. Listen to new episodes of D&D Dark Wednesdays, anywhere you find podcasts.
I slipped in my juice and fell.
Oh, don't say that.
Don't phrase it like that.
Oh, I already did, though. You're going to have to edit it out. Oh.
And oh no, he's not going to give you another take.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I'm your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for. And to, make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Well, if you're going to be making comments like that, I'm going to have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, alright?
Alright, I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien. Premiering October 16th, 2024, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to...